Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, sound check. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, sound check.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, a famous film director, a guitarist to the stars, and an accidental bit of racism in song. So much to get to on the show this time around. But first, let me take you back to the 80s. MTV was on the air, and songs were full of bright colors and obvious dance grooves. But I heard this song that I really liked, and it was none of those things. The song, called Doot Doot, was by a band whose name was this weird hieroglyphic thing, although it was pronounced Frur, we were told. Now, I want to point out this was 10 years before Prince turned his name into a symbol. And then Frur was gone. Didn't hear anything else from them. Until they reemerged as the group Underworld. And Underworld became famous when this song was used in the film Trainspotting. This song became a huge hit in England for Underworld and started a collaboration with the filmmaker Danny Boyle that is still going strong today. In fact, Boyle's latest movie, Trance, features music by Rick Smith of Underworld. Like all of Boyle's movies, music plays a big role in setting the scene and even commenting, sometimes slyly, on the action. The Academy Award-winning director of Slumdog Millionaire and 28 Days Later and 127 Hours joins me here in the studio, Danny Boyle. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
So how far back do you go with the guys from Underworld? Do you go all the way back to those Frur days?
Not quite. But we go way back, actually, to 96 and kind of... I can't remember whether it was 96 that their album was released, that Dub No Bass With My Headman was released, but I heard their album and I was astonished. And I remember saying to the producer of Trainspotting, the film we were working on at the time, this is the heartbeat of the movie. Mm. The whole album is the heartbeat of the movie. And he looked alarmed because it's quite a daring album. And I said, no, and very, very dark. And I said, no, I don't mean that it'll be all over the film, but this is what we'll work with as we edit the film.
So for you, in the process of making movies, are you constantly listening to music?
Yeah all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time.
Well, you're known for, you know, great soundtracks, great scores. The genre here in the new movie, in Trance, is this kind of blend of art heist thriller, kind of nod to film noir.
Yeah.
So did that occasion a different approach to the music?
I guess in detail it probably did. In general, it doesn't. You kind of saturate yourself and the composer, in this case Rick Smith from Underworld, with the tunes that you think kind of fit with the film. And sometimes that's obvious. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the obvious ones don't fit what you think. Oh, this will be great. It's kind of other soundtracks that you're listening to as well, which produce very good templates for the kind of editing process, and then eventually Rick will replace that music. And so you share a kind of basically a playlist with each other and aspirations. Like, mm. one of the aspirations on this movie was that we started off with was Low, the Bowie album, The First Side. And for those who know the vinyl, you know, it's kind of like...
The first side was the song side.
The song side.
As opposed to the second side, which was the experimental ambient side.
Which you might think it'd be that side for a movie because it would fit better, but actually it was the song side. And we didn't didn't end up using that much of it. There's a kind of uncle track on the movie that it samples a bit of Be My Wife, the Bowie track, and that's a lovely little homage to him, to the great man. And we slightly moved away from that, but you share all these references early on, and that's how the discussion happens. Not so much in talking, because it's hard talking about music. It's much better kind of illustrating it, you know, and kind of throwing something in, and then he says, "Have you heard this? Have you?" And it kind of becomes a conversation around music, but not so much using, you know, speech.
Right. Well, here we are talking about music with Danny Boyle, the director of the new film Trance. So let's put some in and let the music speak for itself. Rick Smith did the score for Trance. This comes early in the film and is called Cannonfall. Bit of music from Rick Smith from the band Underworld, working once again with the film director Danny Boyle. That's an excerpt from the score to the new movie Trance. Briefly, there's an auction house employee, he's played by James McAvoy, gets entangled in the theft of a Francisco Goya painting, which is in the air, and then falls into this web of intrigue that involves a hypnotherapist, played by Rosario Dawson, and a thug, played by Vincent Cassel. To say more might spoil the plot or get me down highways and byways from which I will never return. The idea of starting with someone like Rick Smith, who is known for electronic music, now you need to think of other, you know, you need to pull from other sonic areas, right?
Yeah, I love using pop music, you know, pre-existing tracks in movies. They are extraordinary because they obviously have their own drive, energy, appeal, whatever it is about the particular track, but they also carry baggage with them.
Exactly.
Which is people remember them, they have memories associated with them, they kind of like are half remembered, the delight of re-remembering, and so you bring all this extra baggage with it. And I don't, people worry about that in a movie, and I go, no, that's part of the pleasure of that you rethink that song against the imagery you put with it or the part of the story you put with it. What we call our films are complex and pleasurable experiences. That's what we want to create. And music is a huge part of that.
So for you, in choosing some of these pre-existing songs, they obviously mean something to you personally, right?
Yeah, they're usually stuff from my library, I suppose. I've always had this library of music. I was very fortunate I grew up. And when I kind of hit 20, punk was just starting in Britain. And that was a huge... And it's really... I mean, it predates that, really. My Bowie obsession was earlier than that. My Led Zeppelin obsession was earlier than that. And it goes back, really, to I remember my dad buying Beatles records, and I still got them, you know, the very early Beatles singles. They're probably worth a lot of money.
Where does Chanson d'Amour come from? I mean, this sounds like it could have been a mid-20th century French chanson.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's the hypnotherapist, Rosario Dawson, she takes them into James McAvoy's character, into a trance. And eventually she starts, they become group trances where she begins to manipulate them all into a certain landscape. And there's a wonderful moment in the movie where she takes them to the French countryside. And within the French countryside is a church, and within that church are all the lost or stolen paintings from history. Mm-hmm. So for an art historian and a fine art auctioneer like James McAvoy's character, it's Nirvana. He's arrived in heaven, a place where all these things are found and safe and secure.
So it's not a plot spoiler to say that the reason James McAvoy is under hypnosis is to remember where the Goya painting,
stolen painting is. Yeah. So you need a song to accompany the delight of this. You know, the French countryside, tree-lined, sunflowers. It's beautiful, you know. It's exactly the Mediterranean lifestyle that we all... long for. She has this speech and she said, you know, there's a song playing on the radio as you drive this open-top car through the French. And it's a half-remembered song. And Chanson d'Amour was just one of those half-remembered songs that you kind of thought, oh, I remember Chanson d'Amour. And the songs throughout the movie act as a kind of pleasurable oasis of something delicate and lovely, because Rick's score, which comes in between them, if you like, is basically going further and further into McAvoy's mind, and it's a darker and darker right. place as he gets closer.
Let's hear a little bit of this Chanson d'Amour, once again from the soundtrack to Danny Boyle's current film called Trance, screening now in New York and in theaters nationwide. Chanson. Little Chanson d'Amour, a song of love by Art and Dottie Todd from the soundtrack to the film Trance by my guest Danny Boyle, who won an Academy Award for Best Director for his film Slumdog Millionaire and also did Shallow Grave and Trainspotting and 28 Days Later. I'm going to ask, I'm not going to expect an answer, but is there another 28 film, another zombie flick in the works?
Well, I wish we'd had shares in The Walking Dead, the TV show. I wish we'd got involved in that. It's extraordinary the way it's kind of... there'd been a whole zombie movement, and then I think we helped to refresh it with 28 Days Later and the impact that had.
And your zombies moved.
Yeah, I mean,
you seen the new Bowie video for The Stars Are Out Tonight, where they do that kind of
herky-jerky? Yeah,
reminded me of the movement of the zombies in your film.
I was very keen for it not to be known as a zombie movie, and because I had this idea that the creatures, the infected, the threat is much more rage filled, mm-hmm. and couldn't kind of just stagger about. It was something that was speed and intensity and fear, very frightening because of that. But it's become absorbed in the zombie landscape and is referred to constantly as a zombie movie. And I have to accept that, be gracious and accept that. I'm lucky to be there. We do have, there is an idea for a third part because we did a 28 weeks later and,
right.
and so the 28 months later or whatever it would be called, the third one. There is a plan for that. How realistic it is, given the success of something like Walking Dead, I've no idea, but... Who knows? Fingers crossed.
Okay. But the current film is called Trance. It's been screening here in New York. It's now in theaters nationwide. Who picks the songs that have appeared in you? I mean, not doing the score, but is that you, or do you have a music supervisor?
No. I
you do that all yourself?
Yes, I do. And I, it's one of the deepest pleasures for me and helped shape the film in so many ways other than just the music.
Mm-hmm.
It informs the film completely for me, and I am very proud to be able to associate myself with these artists via film, if you see what I mean, rather than thinking they're coming to the film.
So has it ever happened that you've said to yourself, oh, that song would be perfect for this scene? I bet the artist is going to have a cow if I use it, though. I mean, you had any reservations?
Yeah, we did, actually. We had an amazing... And she was great. We tried to get Laurie Anderson's Old Superman for 28 Days Later. There was an amazing sequence where he walks home. You know, London's deserted, apparently, apart from this threat. And he finds his way back to his old home where his parents lived. And he finds them in bed, passed away. They've passed away peacefully and left a message for him. It's very moving, actually, within this apocalyptic horror. And we had her amazing song was on this soundtrack.
Oh, Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad.
And And we asked her, we approached her about it, and she said she didn't want to because she didn't want the song to be associated with anything else because she wanted to do something else with it in the near future. And so she declined. And I was really sad there. So it was really sad. But actually, good things come out of, you know, her decision is a good one for her reasons, and good things come out of it. And we used a hymn instead, which actually had an even greater significance, certainly for a British audience, because, you know, you're trying to suggest the past of a city. And hymns sonically do that, you know, something that we're all familiar with through schooling, you know. So we used Abide With Me.
Who like thyself, my guide and stay can be, through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with.
Now, in Trainspotting, there is, of course, the notorious scene in the toilet in which you use Brian Eno and Daniel Lanois' piece Deep Blue Day from their album Apollo. Did you have any concern that Daniel and Brian might have something to say about their beautiful outer space cowboy music being associated with this scene?
Been associated with the worst toilet in Scotland. I didn't, though I probably should have done, and you're right. Fortunately, they were great about it. Actually, I mean, I'd met Brian Eno before because I'd used it. That album is, to me, one of the greatest atmospheric albums ever.
And its full title is actually Apollo Atmospheres and Soundtracks.
And was written for this footage of the moon landings. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it is just extraordinary piece of work. And I've used it multiple times. I used it in a TV series I did before I moved into films. And I used it so many times in so many different ways that eventually Brian Eno wrote to me and said, listen, I've done other things, you know. And he has indeed, and some other wonderful stuff as well.
Well, and Daniel Lanois, it turns out, was really kind of tickled by the use of this piece in the film Trainspotting, as he told us a couple of years ago on Soundcheck. In the book Soul Mining, you talk about this piece called Deep Blue Day, which for millions of moviegoers will forever be associated with a disgusting toilet bowl scene in the film Trainspotting.
I quite like the association. I'm good with toilet bowls.
This is the music from Daniel Lanois. Blue Day from Brian Eno, Daniel Lanois playing that magical slide pedal steel guitar, and Roger Eno as well from their album Apollo Atmospheres and Soundtracks, a record that has been plundered numerous times by my guest, Danny Boyle, the filmmaker, director of Trance, which is screening now nationwide. It's been running here in New York for a bit. You had to put Trance on hold for a while to do the London Olympics, the opening ceremonies. What kind of monkey wrench did that throw into plans?
Yeah, no, we did. We actually shot Trance while we were in the second year of preparing the Olympic opening ceremony, and then edited it after we'd completed the opening ceremony. And it was very smooth, actually, and a real relief from doing this big family-friendly national celebration event. It was lovely to do a dark, twisted thriller like this. And it was pretty much...
Wait. So the dark, twisty thing was the relief. Big family fun thing was the...
Oh, yeah, that's the torture. Well, you can imagine yourself in a Disney-eyed world, almost Disney-fied world of thinking positive the whole time. And then, you know, the other side of your brain has got to have somewhere else to go. And so we'd shoot literally Trance in the night times and then edited it later, as I said, when we'd finished the opening ceremony. But it was also, a lot of the people were the same crew. Mm-hmm. And so Rick Smith, who did all the music for the opening ceremony, the supervisor, the creator of a lot of the music for that, and obviously did our music for Trans.
And one of the things about those opening ceremonies is they had somehow you managed to strike this balance between a very kind of British reserve and the over-the-topness that we've come to associate with Danny Boyle films. I don't know how you pulled that off. But that over-the-top quality, that does – I mean, it's not a disgusting toilet in Scotland. It's the worst toilet in Scotland. It's not, you know, a nice painting. It's a masterpiece by Goya. It's everything is to the nth degree with you.
Absolutely. If you ever get a chance to make a movie – one of the things you'll sense is the chance to go to the edges, push it to the extremes.
Is that why Slumdog Millionaire was such a good fit for you? Because those Bollywood films are always over the top.
They certainly are. I mean, in a slightly different way. Our taste is slightly different.
Yeah.
But they do have an incredible library of actors, a reservoir of actors, whose taste is slightly different to ours in the performance terms. But once you address that with them, they're cool. They'll adjust. And you get this sense of bigness in the world. And for a city like Mumbai, you can't mumble your way through Mumbai. You'll disappear. You've got to announce yourself, you know, and stride out there onto the stage. And so it was a great fit for me personally. I found it a very inspiring place to work.
We're speaking with Danny Boyle, the filmmaker, the guy behind the movie Trance, which is screening now in New York and in theaters nationwide, and of course won an Academy Award for Best Director for the film Slumdog Millionaire. In Trance, there is a scene on there's a video that keeps recurring of a soccer goal. And in a funny way, maybe this is a throwback to Trainspotting, where there's a bit of a videotape swap that turns into a plot point, one of the videotapes being a collection of soccer's greatest goals.
Yes.
On the soundtrack, this piece of music is simply called Santiago and then is subtitled 101 Greatest Goals.
Yeah.
So what is this? what is this?
It's just very good bit of detective work by you. No, so I think in the Trainspotting, I think it's called 100 Greatest Goals, you know, that the video that switched.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like with a sex video, as it happens. Homemade sex video. Very amusing. And in this case, I don't know why Rick came up with this title, 101 Greatest Goals, and it's one of the loveliest tracks that he wrote. He's not a particular soccer fan. I am. He's not. So I can't offer it. There's nothing. There's no nugget there. At least I haven't found one yet anyway.
Well, do you know whose goal that is?
I don't, but I can't remember. But I do know, as you pointed out, it's repeated three or four times, and it's a very important clue. Not like who's the player, or what's the game, but why is it repeating itself like that? That's a very important clue in the sequencing of the film.
Well, we're going to wrap up with this song from Rick Smith called Santiago from the soundtrack to the film Trance. And we've been speaking with the filmmaker, Danny Boyle. Danny, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks very much, John.
If you like today's conversation with director Danny Boyle, tune in this Monday when I'll talk with director Derek Cianfrance about his new film, The Place Beyond the Pines, which was scored by musician Mike Patton of the band Faith No More.